Focus on the Family on AM 1230 KPRL and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Sculptera Winery and Sculpture Garden. The Frankel family and staff invite you to visit their beautiful world and taste their award-winning estate wine. Open daily 10 to 5 on Lanay Road in Paso Robles.
All the negative that Dave isn't doing, he's not performing, he's not here, he's not leading spiritually. I could go on and on.
Have you ever been really frustrated with your spouse? Ann Wilson, on today's Focus on the Family Minute, recalling a moment of realization that led to change.
And I felt like God stopped me for a second and said, what would happen instead of complaining about him? You would pray for him. That was a new thought. And so I realized if I'm going to transform my mind, when the scripture says don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed, that word transformed in the Greek is actually the word, like it's a metamorphosis. It's a total change. And so I realized like it's almost that heart of gratitude that you listen and you hear about and you study. Instead of going to the negative, I'm going to now start thinking the positives.
More from Ann and her husband Dave Wilson when you stop by FamilyMinute.org.
Focus on the Family on AM 1230 KPRL and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Sculptera Winery and Sculpture Garden. The Frankel family and staff invite you to visit their beautiful world and taste their award-winning estate wine. Open daily 10 to 5 on Lanay Road in Paso Robles.
Greg King here from your Valley Fresh Market in Atascadero. Around here, community isn't just something we say, it's something we live. When you shop with us, you're choosing real food from local people, supporting the farmers, bakers, and families who make this place home. Next time you're in, let us know what you think. Drop a suggestion in one of our comment boxes and let us know how we can make your shopping experience the best. For the holiday, we are featuring USDA Choice Creekstone Farm Standing Rib Roast, $13.99 a pound. And fresh from the butcher, we have thick cut hardwood smoked bacon, $5.99 a pound. We also have 80% lean ground beef, just $4.99 a pound. In our produce department, we have 5-pound bag russet potatoes, just 79 cents a bag. Sweet blueberries, just $2.99 for a 1-pound package. Also in the produce department, we have 3-pound bag of tangerines, just $2.49 a bag. In our service deli, hot and ready self-serve bar, just $7.99 a pound. Valley Fresh Market is located off Del Rio exit in Atascadero. It's real food from local people. See our ads at valleyfreshmarkets.com.
Are you prepared? Uncle Ed's Outfitters is offering basic to advanced training. They are licensed CPRA, NRA, USCCA, and offer specialty classes in firearms assembly and maintenance courses. It's good to own a firearm, but it's a perishable skill, and you need to be prepared to use it. Open Tuesday through Saturday from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Find us at AtascaderoGunShop.com. Uncle Ed's Outfitters in Atascadero on South El Camino Real in the Oaks Plaza.
Paul Harvey's The Rest of the Story, brought to you by Frontier Floors and Window Coverings at 830 21st Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-7878 or online at frontierfloors.net.
The Rest of the Story. May 25, 1951, he made his Major League Baseball debut. That day, he was five times at bat. No hits. The next day, he was three times at bat. No hits. The day after that, he was four times at bat. Again, no hits. And the days rolled by. And the most the hapless rookie could muster was one hit in 26 times at bat. So you'll understand why after the most recent of those humiliating games, the rookie went into the locker room, he sat down in front of his locker, and cried. But this is the rest of the story. It was his first season of Major League Baseball, 26 times at bat, one hit. After the last in that long string of demoralizing games, the team manager found him in the locker room, sitting in front of his locker, crying. The manager couldn't help feel partially responsible. The rookie had come up to the majors on his advice. In fact, the rookie, terrified at the thought of batting the big league pitch, would have preferred to stay in Minneapolis with the American Association. There he could hit a comfortable .477. Now in the majors, he was batting .039. So when the manager found his new recruit sitting alone in the locker room in tears, he, the manager, knew what was wrong, but he asked anyway. And the rookie stood up at the sound of the manager's voice. He'd been caught in a very private moment. But the sympathy in the manager's eyes dispelled the young fellow's embarrassment. And he begged the manager, please, please send me back down. Quietly, the manager reaffirmed his faith in the rookie's potential. He was just nervous, that was all. And tomorrow was another day. The rookie appeared unconvinced, but as the manager searched his mind for something inspirational, something practical occurred to him instead. Tomorrow, the manager announced confidently, you're going to get two hits. The rookie struck a quizzical glance. The manager continued, when you're out there at the plate, pull up your pants. The rookie smiled and shook his head, but the manager was serious. If the rookie would just pull up his pants before he stepped up to bat, tomorrow he'd get two hits. He did, and he did. And the next day, the rookie pulled up his pants before walking to the plate. A single and a triple. They beat the Pirates 14-3. And the day after that, against the Cardinals, the greenhorn batter, who had once feared major league pitchers, got two doubles. Scored the only run. They won 1-0. The rookie was on his way. And he finished the season somewhat overcoming his rotten start with a decent 2.74. Drafted into the Army the following year, he returned to his team in 1954, and in the two elapsed years, he had not forgotten to pull up his pants. He batted 345 that year, scoring 119 runs, 110 RBIs, 41 home runs. He led his league in three base hits. He set a new team record for extra base hits, and his team won the pennant. Now, for this next, you must understand that a pitched ball must cross the plate above the batter's knees. And baseball, as most games, is a game of inches. What the team manager had discovered 3 years before was that the umpires were calling the young rookie's strike zone not at his knees, but at the knees of his pants. And with his pants pulled up, the low pitches were no longer good. And the once intimidated rookie became a superstar. You know his team, the New York Giants. You know his manager, Leo Durocher. And now you know the rookie who had but to pull up his pants to lift himself into the stratosphere of baseball immortality. Willie Howard Mays, Willie Mays. And now you know the rest of the story.
This hour of Sound Off on KPRL brought to you by the Book Heating and Air, your local reliable heating and air expert. Call 805-423-5119.
238-5775. 238-KPRL. Sound Off continues on KPRL, the North County's number one choice for news, talk, and sports. This is Sound Off on the right choice, KPRL.
And welcome back, and I will add to that and say that you can text in at 238-5775-2, and we'd love to read your comments. We'd love to have your phone calls. We're kind of going to be moving on to Jim D'Antona, but I have to speak my piece when it comes to the Tribune, and I haven't been an outspoken supporter of them at all, but here's my problem is there is a bias. There's 100% of bias between the left and the right. When you have leadership, whether it be in their central committee, people like Bruce Gibson, etc., leaders in the community that openly brag that they have the Tribune in their back pocket, it's really hard to say, huh, there's no bias over there. And of course, it's always argued, you know, you hear Tirico saying, well, it's our editorial staff. And this is a prime example, and they do this all the time, is they'll take a news story and editorialize it to either make somebody on the left look good or somebody on the right look bad, and they'll just say, well, it's our editors that do it. It's not our news staff, because we don't let them report on that stuff. It's a left wing. You can't argue the point to me. I've heard it. I've watched how they do it. And you know what? And I see what they turn their nose up and don't report on. And if it's on the right, they don't turn their nose up. If it's on the left, they might let it go. Or they might have, and I think going back in years, and I hate to bring this up over and over again today, but when Bruce had his affair, they let him write the damn story as a love story. As an editorial. It was never a news story. Give me a break, Tribune. Just face that you're a left-wing rag. That's my opinion. I'm sticking to it. You will never talk me out of it. And just because you let your editorial board take over news stories and put a slant on them doesn't make it right and doesn't not make you a left-wing rag. That's my opinion.
If I give you a cookie, will you change it?
Right?
See, this is what happens when Christmas comes and you don't get your cookies right? When you come in here.
I know. I'm blaming Aaron.
You're all wound up.
And Kevin, Anson. No cookies. Yeah. But I'm just I've seen it for years, and I'm tired of the excuse. I'm tired of hearing it's editorial because you made it an editorial problem, so you can blame the editorial staff that happens to run that paper.
Yeah, see, and I mean, come on. And I know that you're going to, you know, take a cookie and throw it across the table when I says my, you know, I've always taken the view of, I've always appreciated their newsroom, their reporters, how they've worked with me.
My mom used to work there years ago
did
when they were
really?
A reputable
how do
paper.
I not know them? I didn't know them.
I mean, years ago. I mean, when they had a big building and were printing their papers in downtown San Luis Obispo.
Oh, God, those were the days.
Yeah.
That's
the
like,
Telegram
that's like news. Yeah, it's yeah. Like, we're in a big building.
And she worked for Pass Robles Press
how
for the Reddick.
How fun is that? I did not know this. Yeah, see, that's why I, you know, I've always said that when it comes to an editorial board, you guys write all the opinions you want. I will never, you know, I will disagree or disagree. Okay, that's fine. I'll let all that go. It's no big deal. When it comes to something like this, I truly do stand behind it. Setting a precedent that says, if we editorialize a breaking news story, we're not going to report on it now. I think that they need to revisit that.
Yeah. Well, I think that is
that
burying the story and being able to put the slant
on the
story.
That perspective
you took a news
from the editorial stuff needs to be revisited.
You got it off the front page, and then you can turn it into what you want it to be, bad or good.
Right, exactly.
That's what they're doing, and they do it over and over and over. And then they just say, no, we're right down the middle with our news stories. It's the editorial staff. It's just we take news stories and turn them into editorials.
Well, and that's the thing. I think you commented on this one. And, you know, and why I would, you know, if the editorial board ever felt to themselves, you know, we're being unfairly labeled this way, I would argue back with them, okay, let's take this example right here. This is the fodder that's creating the problem is these types of things.
Right.
If the editorial board could come back and revisit their decision to do it based on, because we editorialize this, we don't have to report. And remember, this is not some small story that says, right, oh my gosh, somebody tripped and fell one day. This is a serious problem of a serious financial conflict of interest in which a sitting elected official violated this. Now, yes, he did step back for a second and say, okay, I qualify this, but that is a news story. And especially right, when that same elected official is supporting somebody who's now in his office and then coming after me as a candidate for questioning him. I mean, where has Bruce Gibson reached out to me personally and just privately say, hey, Mike, listen, this is Bruce. Hey, listen, I had this one wrong. And I just wanted to reach out to you as well and just apologize to you that I said some things publicly about you that probably went over the line. You were right on this one. So I just wanted to just touch bases real quick privately. I would have appreciated that, but
I will
never happened.
This is my last thing I'm going to say about the Tribune until we go on to Dan. I have written multiple responses to their editorials that every paper in this county has picked up.
We are aware.
But they... Well, not because, and they say, well, it's not true. Well, I know this county. I'm not going to sit here and lie about stuff. They will lie over semantics and da 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 da. This is, we don't think. Can you prove this? For one, you're responding to an editorial. Can you prove what you said?
Right.
And I guarantee you they can't because I'm bringing the opposite side. I did one when they hit Dan Dow and Randall Jordan and said, this is why Republicans don't trust you. They refused to publish it. Everybody else did. Nobody else had a problem. But when it comes to when a conservative writes something, they critique it and find a way not to publish it or try to make it a non-story and they'll send it back. I think during the break, I was telling you I wrote one where Chloe told me, if you just let me rewrite it. No, you're not writing my story for me.
The column you wrote or whatever, whatever that was.
Years ago. And I still have all the emails. The one thing I will never get rid of is emails from the Tribune. So when they answer me, I can back up everything I'm saying. I keep that stuff.
That's scary. You really need to get a life. I usually hit my delete button every few years.
I do not on stuff like that. But anyway, so now let's move on. We got to get off this. Now we've dealt with Sherry Gibson, and she's no longer going to be in that job. My understanding is Jim Tantona is. He hasn't dropped out. They haven't said they don't want him, unless I'm wrong about that.
He's got to look. What's the latest news? See if Karen put it up.
No, it's my phone. Let's phrase what just happened. I picked up my phone while I was talking because something came up. Now, let me tell you what it really was. It was my mother saying, hey, listen, can you stop by Target or something like that? Anyways.
But so I find it interesting, and I've seen this in the past. So when you had the two Bruces running against each other,
sure.
Bruce Gibson was 100% using county resources to run an election. And before the districts even changed, because you have to remember we had that district change and then it went back.
Right.
So he was in the old district too, using the public library and his legislative assistant to come to Atascadero and talk to voters. Nowhere else. And he had never done that prior and was doing it in no other city.
Which library was it?
Atascadero.
Okay,
up in AT. Which is a county library.
Okay.
So county resources, county employee. He had his legislative assistant.
To have a district meeting?
No.
To
meet the public.
Well, it's a district meeting.
It was private meetings. You could show up and talk to him in a room privately. It wasn't like address a crowd.
Oh, okay. So he set up in there that people could come in and talk to him.
It wasn't a town hall. You could come in and talk to him. And he said, oh, well, I'm just trying to reach out to the whole county. He only did it in Atascadero, and he only did it when he thought the boundaries were going to change.
Well,
the boundaries hadn't changed yet.
Okay.
So he started campaigning in Atascadero.
Right.
Using the public library and Blaine. What is it, Blaine? Yeah.
Blake.
And, you know, I remember I was the second person that walked in. He didn't know I was there.
You walked in on me. Why was I not there?
You know, I had gotten a phone call that he was campaigning in Atascadero using public resources. So I went and got pictures.
But I
met with him.
Oh,
and
geez.
The first thing he said, I surprised him. He, what's the lady over in Los Osos? She was the first person. She does all the stories. Karen does a lot of them.
I was going to say Julie.
Yeah, Julie Tacker.
She was the
first person that Bruce had to deal with. Bruce is saying goodbye to her, doesn't think anybody's there. And I step in front of him from me to you.
Yeah.
Which, if you're on the radio, we're 4 feet, 3 feet.
Sure, four feet apart.
I swear to you, I'm not like, he recoils and goes, oh! And then he goes, sticks his hand out and goes, how you doing here?
Well, I mean, give the guy credit. I mean, he's got a sense of humor then. I mean,
oh, yeah, yeah. Then you know what he said to me? I am not campaigning, Eric. That was his first words after his recoil.
Okay.
But, I am not campaigning and meet my new assistant. And I was like, I'm not here for that. I think you have a good chance of winning. I want to hear about where you stand. And, you know, the districts look like they're going to change. And,
right.
And, you know, I just had a conversation with the guy. But the bottom line was he was using a fuzzy line and campaigning in Atascadero. Period. You'll never make me think he wasn't.
Okay. Now, okay, but...
but what I'm bringing this up for is I feel like Jim D'Antone is going down that road with this job. This is obviously... How can you get a job as a legislative assistant for the person you hope to replace and not be ever campaigning in that position?
Now, I'm going to say this.
Which is illegal because you're a county employee at that point, using county resources to run for a county position. It is illegal.
I know it's really easy for somebody like me to get on the radio and to, you know, to say, hey, let me stick a fork into red meat or something like that. But in Bruce's defense, oh my God, I ever said, oh my God, I cannot believe you said that. I have
and
never.
The
I have
phone line's lighting up.
Take your yard signs down. I've heard the accusation of him, you know, holding these meetings.
He told Julie he was and told me he wasn't.
Okay. That he was holding those meetings up there as a county supervisor.
Yes. But he told Julie
a county supervisor has every right to do that.
You can't use government resources to
run a campaign. But did you walk in there and see his yard signs all over the walls and stuff like that? I would assume not.
No, it was a little early for that.
Okay, I assume it was a little early for that. But you know, if a county supervisor is or any elected official is you know, not crossing that line, then they're not crossing that line. And if somebody has something, a recording of him or any official, you know, using a government building and then talking about his personal campaign, okay, I agree, that's totally different. Like what happened with the FPPC violation and conflict of interest. But on this one, I've heard all the things. Can it feel or can it look really bad? Yeah, it can. Yeah,
I'm not the supervisor here. I've never come here before in my life. But all of a sudden, when I'm going to have to get these votes, I'm going to start showing up there.
Yeah, I mean, look. I mean, look. But did he cross the line? And that's where we, you know, tell anybody to be careful with that.
Right. And we do have a call. Welcome to Sound Off.
Please don't yell at me.
How would you like to join us today?
Well, I was personally involved in Darcis Devin's fight with Kano. You know what she did? While he was doing the recount on Gibson, one thing that was later discovered was that she had charged Darcia $40,000 and hadn't even counted one ballot. And then while in the trial, she put in for time with her and other employees that were salaried up in San Jose at a seminar. Okay, the judge let her get away with that, claiming they were supervising in San Jose. But you know what else the judge found? They charged overtime for salaried employees to the tune of $5,000. Kano is just as much of evil as Bruce Gibson.
Yeah, no, I know. And Darcia did won a settlement on this, and it kind of kept going and going because Kano did not want to pay that settlement out. I think Darcia did get a check, if I'm not mistaken, but I could be wrong on that. So don't.
I wonder. I wanted to sue Kano for $5,000 because for that $5,000 plus $3,100 for attorney fees and small claims.
Well, thanks for calling in. We got to go to break. We'll be right back, and I promise you we're going to talk about Jim D'Antona. We keep saying we're going to do it, but we'll get to it right after the break.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Liz Klayman, and this is the Fox Business Report. The major averages falling with the NASDAQ and S&P 500 at three-week lows on the back of declines in heavyweight tech stocks, on AI valuation jitters, and as investors wait a report on funding obstacles for Oracle's data center plans. Shares of Oracle dropped 5% following a report that said that the data and software company's largest data center partner, Blue Owl Capital, will not back a $10 billion deal for Oracle's next facility on worries about Oracle's rising debt and large AI investments. Tech was the worst performing sector, while energy gained as oil prices rallied. The Dow winners, Salesforce, Home Depot, and McDonald's. The Dow decliners, Caterpillar, Goldman Sachs, and NVIDIA. The Dow down 228 points. The NASDAQ lower by 418. S&P 500 down 79. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
I'm alpine skier Michaela Schifrin. I've won the most World Cup ski races in history. But what does success mean to me? Success means discipline. It's teamwork. It's the drive and passion inside of us. And it's why Stifel is one of the fastest growing global wealth management firms in the country. If you're looking for success, surround yourself with the people who will get you there. If you're an advisor or investor, choose Stifel, where success meets success.
Stifel Nicolaus & Company Incorporated, member SIPC and NYSE.
Past performance is no indication of future results. Investing involves risk. Consult a financial advisor before making any investment decision.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
The Astraea Warbirds Museum has updated its 40-plus vintage military aircraft to honor those who served in the Vietnam conflict. The Astraea Warbirds Museum, home of the Woodland Auto Display, has a multi-million dollar collection and over 20,000 square feet of indoor buildings for the vintage auto and race car enthusiasts. Open Thursday through Sundays, 10 to 4, Dry Creek Road in Paso Robles, and they're always looking for new volunteers. Go to ewarbirds.org.
Hi, this is Sunny from the Floral Parlor right next to Bridge Sportsman in downtown Paso Robles. When you're grabbing your guns, grab some roses. Because friends don't let friends buy grocery store flowers, please support my small local flower shop. Swing by the Floral Parlor and say hello and receive a free mini bouquet. Yes, a free bouquet. We're a full-service florist serving and delivering beautiful fresh flowers on the Central Coast. Check out our website, thefloralparlor.com. We're on Spring Street across from the Boot Barn. See you soon.
The Sound Off lines are open at 238-5775, 238-KPRL. The North County's listening to you on Sound Off.
And welcome back to Sound Off. Sound Off, I got a speech. I'll be taking over the show now.
Finally
brought me a cookie, and I was choking on it.
I'm taking over the show now. This is Michael Aaron Woody, and I'm on Sound Off.
But yeah, do call in. We had a caller during the break, and unfortunately, we don't take calls during the break. So call back in.
Please.
So Jim D'Antona, this is how I look at it. This is what I want to talk about. And
you're talking about his appointment.
We have Bruce Gibson, who endorsed him, I think is helping him with his campaign.
Yes. Yeah.
A big supporter of that campaign, and who is now hiring him as his legislative assistant,
sure.
Which makes him privy to a lot of things, a lot of backroom things. He can go in just a lot of different things. And for me,
it's a confidential position, legislative analyst.
I don't understand. So you have two people working on a campaign. One is the person running. One is the person currently in that position. They're going to spend days together. I mean, you as a legislative assistant, you are spending a lot. You're traveling with that person, et cetera.
Sure.
And you don't think they're going to talk about this campaign. He's not going to be privy to things that he shouldn't be privy to. There's going to be no crossover with the campaign because you can't do that on county time as an employee.
Let me ask something.
And for one, should it be allowed? I would say right now, John Pashong, Heather Moreno, Don Ortiz Legge, I think you guys might get behind it. You three, this should not be allowed in the county.
There are counties throughout California and across the United States that have banned this, in fact.
Right. And this should be brought up this year. Should have been brought up yesterday.
And here's the thing is that, you know, every government employee, just like every American, you know, who's qualified to do this, has the right to run for an elected office. This is not the discussion here. We are not talking about a position in which, Jim D'Antona has been his legislative aide for the last, let's say 2 or 3 years, like Blake was, and decided to run for this political office. This is, much like trying to appoint his wife, who was lateraled, which is a different gray area discussion. This is different. Bruce Gibson went out there. Bruce Gibson made a decision to endorse a candidate, in this case, Jim D'Antona. And now, a few months later, he appoints him as his $100,000 a year legislative aide. There's a reason why a lot of counties throughout California has banned this type of practice, because there's a real slippery slope of potential conflict of interest, even if it's not a direct conflict of interest of, do I think that Bruce Gibson and Jim D'Antona are sitting down there at the county office at their desk and saying, hey, what do you got going on in the campaign right now? No, I really don't. And I know, I should be out there as a candidate saying, oh yeah, this is awesome. No, I truly do not think that's going on. But what happens is an implicit access.
It could very easily happen. Fundraiser last night was great. You need to call Joe Blow back because he's going to write you a big check.
Right.
That's
exactly.
It could easily happen.
And then you also have people coming in that are have projects going on and they want to talk to Bruce Gibson and their legislative aide about projects they have going on in the region. And yes, the campaign was not brought up, but wink, wink. Hey, listen, after work tonight, can you meet me for dinner? And then, that same person has that project. Yeah,
he just
going to dinner.
Donated $5,500.
Right. Yeah. And they just, and then all of a sudden it's, past 4:30 or 5 o'clock, and then everybody goes out for sliders on Highgarra Street. And then you're magically talking about some, you know, your campaign.
Right.
It gets really, really cloudy when you do something like that. And I think just in a general sense, it really continues to tell voters that there's an insider's game to all this. Now, you know, it's like I said, do I think Bruce and Jim are sitting downtown, you know, with their feet on the desk, you know, saying, you know, smoking cigars and saying, hey, you know, what's going on in your campaign today? No, I honestly don't. I truly do not think that's going on. But it's like I said, there's an implicit problem with it. Right. Somebody comes in, they visit with the supervisor, Jim's in on the meeting because he obviously has to be, and then they're telling about this unique project they've got going on or something else, or he's taking phone calls. And then after work's done, it's like, hey, let's go out for sliders. And then that meeting translates into going across the street and talking about the campaign.
And I'll be honest with you, though. I mean, this is me. I'm gonna represent the other side a little bit, is how easy is it, you know, their meeting. I'm Bruce Gibson, you're Dan Tona.
Sure.
Yeah, that seat has Joe Blow,
right?
Developer,
or something.
And I just go, "Oh, hey, Joe Blow, developer. This is Dan Tona. He's going to be your next supervisor."
Yeah,
how inappropriate it would be.
And even if you don't say that, you know, there's an implicit understanding in all these meetings that the person who wants to see this project through knows exactly who they're talking to.
Exactly. Right. I think you're right. And welcome to Sound Off. How you doing
Thanks.
Today?
Enjoying the topic today. Happy holidays.
Happy holiday.
So, I was on a commission for a local municipality, and during the course of my time in service, you know, this is an unpaid volunteer. I was a citizen. Mm-hmm. I had to take the mandatory ethics course.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And I'm
pretty sure I asked at the time if elected officials had to conduct the same course or had to take the same course, and I was told no. And I don't understand that. And in fact, you know, we ought to hold the elected officials to an even higher standard.
Oh yeah.
This whole thing stinks of you know, unethical behavior. And on top of that, let me comment, not personally but professionally, I'm not quite sure what Dan for the city of SLO, Chamber of Commerce.
You're breaking up a little bit.
Downtown SLO lately?
Right. So, yeah, I think that's the shingle that he has, you know, out on his doorstep as far as anything to do with San Luis Obispo County. I think most of his, whether you want to call him accomplishments or anything else, have been in Southern California.
Yeah, his entire resume is, I'm from Los Angeles, I did legislative stuff in Los Angeles. I was an assistant in Los Angeles. I mean, his only thing that he can hang on his shingle right now is I was the SLO Chamber president.
Right.
Yeah. And the SLO Chamber is nothing more than a, it's like going to the prom, you know, it's a popularity thing. Their meetings and their, you know, it's kind of like high school the way those, and I'm not quite sure they've done for the city of SLO that has elevated it. So D'Antona has really no qualifications to lead a supervisorial district here in the county, and this gives me a headache. And, so anyway, appreciate the topic. I'll hang up and let you guys answer with me off the air.
Thank you, sir. To me, I mean, there's a little bit. I mean, I know he did some legislative stuff.
I don't like it when people call and are funnier than I am. That's really frustrating to me.
I will say, you know, this is totally off subject, but you might pay attention to this because you drive that Jeep around with your name all over it running for supervisor. Oh, and he drives like a little old lady.
Who does me?
You do. I was behind you getting off the off ramp. You're going 20. You drove 20 down Spring. Kevin would have a field day with you. He'd be like, these people need to drive the speed limit. You like, geez, you, that's like a,
why don't you run an editorial
about
me?
Last off ramp is like 2 miles long. Okay, you're just putting along like a little old lady.
Okay, point counterpoint. We've got to get to the caller on this one. Okay, point counterpoint on this. Okay, so I'm just driving along, you know, saying, hey, got to be an ethical driver and everything else like that.
Great big white
big
truck.
Three quarter ton truck pulls up behind me. It looks
honking the horn,
revving the motor, you know, slamming on this and, you know, waving waving their hand in the air, get out of the way. And I'm thinking, oh my God, there's a maniac back there. I got to call the sheriff's department real quick. And then I look back and go, oh, Jesus, Eric.
Yeah, there it is.
There you go. Yeah, to the caller's point on this, you know, that really is one of the fundamental issues here is that, you know, it's odd because I sit on the Citizens Finance Advisory Committee for the City of Morro Bay. So we go through all the budget and everything. And every year we have to do this, you know, conflict of interest.
Mm-hmm.
Seminars, right. Online things and stuff like that. And when I've gone through it, it's really interesting because it says very clearly on there that there's more to just conflict of interest besides, you know, I'm going to vote for something and I'm going to financially benefit from it. Mm-hmm. You know, that the perception of conflict of interest can be considered huge. A conflict of interest it's at that huge. Point. And that gets into the real gray area of, you know, should you do this or should you not do this? And the advice that we're given on these seminars is you should not do that because the idea of public perception of something that is mm-hmm. clearly not only in the gray area, but in the very dark gray area, you know, can be just as bad for public perception and for, you know, what you do as far as, you know, creating a government entity that truly judges things on their merits.
And I think that in this case, this is the biggest problem that D'Antona has is perception, because to me, it shouldn't be legal, period.
The county should ban this, but no question.
This isn't how you should be starting a campaign. To make people wonder if you're ethical or not is not a great way. And to me, this is unethical. I think the caller was right. This is unethical. I think Bruce knows it's unethical. I think what happened is they sat there, they had their sliders one night, and they said, you know, I've done this a million times. I've done these things, and people forget about it in a week.
Yeah. That has always been the attitude in politics, especially the old school politicians. They see everything as, oh, it's a 48-hour news cycle. You know, would I'll put it like this, would I ever do this? No, absolutely not. I mean, would I ever sit there as an elected official and say, hey, I got an idea. I'm going to endorse this person 3 months later. Hey, come work in my office. You're my legislative aide. No, there's no way that anybody with any common sense would do anything like that. But when you question things like that, or or like what I did, you know, point out, hey, by the way, you guys are breaking the law in there. That's what happens to common people. We get our heads cut off. And then when you find out, by the way, you were right, none of these people bother to give you a call and say, hey, listen, just want to call you in private. Between you and I apologize for this. I'm sorry this happened.
And you know, I said I wasn't going to bring the Tribune up anymore, but then if you're a Gibson or a Adam Hill, who's passed now, but they say, what do you want us to say? How do we make this go? Because that editorial was ridiculous. Bruce came out, said he was wrong. He didn't realize it. Da, 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 and it was just so much fluff in that thing. It wasn't like, man, you were called out. You said you were right. Well, you were wrong. And this is, to me, did the government have to get involved to tell you this was wrong?
Yeah, the state had to come down here to San Luis Obispo and clear this up.
And it's ridiculous because to me, I don't care if it's John Pashong. I don't care if it's Heather Moreno. I don't care if it's Bruce Gibson, Jimmy Paul. It's clearly...
It's illegal.
Illegal. Yeah, and that was even illegal if it was legal, is it ethical? No. It's not.
And a lot of people... And that's where I got asked a question one day.
I mean, high school ethics would take you through this.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. You know, I've been asked this question before, you know, but is it illegal to do? And I said, no. I said, well, here's the thing. Always remember, is it illegal to cheat on your wife?
Right. There's a lot of things that aren't illegal.
Right. There are a lot of things that are not illegal, but it doesn't make you right to do it. It tells you a lot about your ethics and how you view the world.
Yeah.
And that, especially in today's environment, is incredibly important.
And I'm going to bring this up one more time. I'll mention a few more names again. John Pashong, Heather Moreno, Don Ortiz Legge. This should not be allowed in our county.
No,
you guys need to bring this up and make sure it never happens again.
And I got to tell you, that's disappointing to watch our county supervisors to not only allow this to happen, but let's say that they cannot go back and do something retroactively. Okay, fair enough. I kind of understand that one legally. But here's the thing. this issue should be on their agenda talking about it. The fact that the entire Board of Supervisors has turned a blind eye to this conversation, knowing that other counties have banned this type of practice for this very reason, but the entire County Board of Supervisors refuses to even, you know, acknowledge this.
And I'm going
to
see
this as a problem.
I'm going to let the listening audience in on a little secret.
Oh, no.
If you do not want them to turn a blind eye, you have to pick up your phone, write an email, write a letter, show up at the Board of Supervisors and demand that we have policies put in place that prevent this from happening in the future.
Absolutely.
And I'm 100% belief in this country, in this county, in this state, in these cities. We as constituents are not doing our job by holding our leaders responsible, because in the end, we are the leaders. We tell them what to do, and we're allowing them to tell us what's acceptable and what's not.
Yeah.
So we'll be right back with the last segment. And remember, our phone lines are open.
Jewelry lovers and people who just really like shiny things. Something unthinkable is happening at K-John's Jewelry Company. We're having a liquidation sale. I know, we're shocked too. K-John's has always been proudly anti-discount. We don't inflate just to mark prices down. We don't even own any red stickers because we price fairly every single day. But now we're launching the wildest, the sparkliest inventory liquidation sale this side of the North Pole. Why? Well, we've been carrying designers we adore for years, but it's time for the next chapter. We're launching our very own K-John's designs. We're liquidating all existing inventory to make room. Which means everything must go. Like, really go. Like, prices so low, our accountant's crying over the calculator. Low. And as a thank you to our amazing customers and community who've supported us over the years, this is your moment to own something extraordinary at discounts we will never offer again. Come in December 2nd through the 24th. Tell your friends, tell your neighbor, tell your dog, tell your neighbor's dog. K-John's Jewelry Company, where integrity meets... Wait, is that the right price?
As the markets have their ups and downs, real estate remains one of the most stable assets in everyone's portfolio. Hi, this is Cindy Mims, owner broker of Colony Mortgage, voted best mortgage company in North County 3 years running. We offer conventional FHA, VA, and reverse mortgages and 100% purchase loans for first-time home buyers. Are you a builder and tired of the red tape when dealing with banks and expensive hard money loans? I have a great new option. Or are you 62 years or older? You can possibly eliminate your monthly mortgage payment and get cash in your pocket. At Colony Mortgage, we have hometown service with competitive rates. We have years of experience with creative financing to find that right loan for you. If it's credit issues stopping you, let us help. We move from our 20-year Atascadero location and now offer two convenient locations to meet personally in Atascadero and Paso Robles. Call 805-466-3598. Thank you for supporting your local businesses.
We see you sitting there, daydreaming about a place where infinite horizons mean more freedom. Well, at Chumash Casino Resort, we're giving away over $500,000 in cash and prizes. Everything you need to find yourself elsewhere. Drawing Sundays in December. Need more details? Visit ChumashCasino.com. And hey, welcome to freedom. Must be present to win. Must be 21 or older. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Central Coast Tractor Work, with decades of construction and earthwork experience. They are the go-to outfit for all your home, farm, and ranch excavation needs. They do site prep, excavation, grading, trenching, utility work, demolition. They even do brush removal and lots more. They handle it all, and no job is too small. Call them today and get your project moving. And by the way, they work weekends. Central Coast Tractor Work, 805-440-6361.
Welcome back to Sound Off, and we're going to go straight to a caller because they've been trying to get in. Good afternoon, and thanks for calling in. Welcome to Sound Off. Oh. Well, we've been trying to get that caller on. At least someone's been calling on the breaks. If that was you and you're trying to get through, we hope to hear from you. This is going to be your last chance. If you want to be heard, if you want to have a voice in this conversation, we need you to call in now, 238-5775, or text. The text lines have been lonely today at 805-238-5775, and we'll read your texts. We'll answer your questions if you have them. And
that's really kind of sad because I've received 8 different text messages on my phone from people listening right now.
Well, you know, sometimes I'll get those and I'll read them like we have a text, like before there was a text line. Be like, on the text line. People call me like, wait, you guys got a text line? And now we do.
Yeah.
And you guys are hanging me out to dry. No,
this has been really interesting. I mean, this whole concept of conflict of interest and watching the last couple of weeks unfold, how it has been covered. Mm-hmm. The reaction from the community, and you know, it has been really, like I said earlier, let's take away the entire issue that's been going on here. What really bothered me on a personal level was knowing that when the powers that be in this region make up their mind that everything is fine, when we in the community step forward and say, you can't do that, that the circle of the, what I call the echo chamber of arrogance, circles the wagons. And they all call each other, they text each other, the you know, journalistic types text each other, and they all sit around and say, oh, those are just those hayseeds out there. You know, we're so much smarter than everybody else. And then the state of California has to step in and say, by the way, all of you are wrong, and the community's right. Michael Aaronwood is right on this whole thing. You should not have been bashing him the way you did. And you know what? Not only do they never apologize for it, they never admit it. It just kind of just slowly fades away. And that's what has frustrated so many people. No matter what your political leanings are, that's the frustration that so many people are having here in this region, even across the country today.
And we've seen it over and over over again in this county. And I've seen county council get involved. I've seen where it's just like not true, where you know it. You're like,
And they're all sitting around saying, well, we can't be wrong. Well, why is that? Well, look at our business card. Check out this logo. You know, look at my job title. I can't be wrong. You're wrong.
Right. You know, sorry. And well, you know what? You know, I was keeping this away from the campaign, but you are here. We have been talking about campaign issues, so you might as well put your information out there. If anybody wants to find out more about you, Michael Aaron Woody, running for District 2 County Supervisor.
It's woodyforsupervisor.com.
Right.
Click me an email anytime, or go to michaelaaronwoody.com. They both lead to the same website. You can learn more about me. We've got an extensive page on issues, what's going on, learn all about me, my history here, my family's history here, my community involvement for it's been going on forever, my tribal involvement from the Salinan tribe. We think we got a real good campaign. The grassroots support has been like something I've never seen out there. I mean, the request for everything from signs, big signs, freeway signs, yard signs, the request for information, how can we get involved? We're tired of this. And what's interesting is that the support I've been getting on this has been a cross section. I just had lunch with somebody from not only am I getting support from, you know, one side of that, but I'm getting support from people involved with somebody called me the other day from the DSA, the Democrat Socialists of America. Believe it or not.
Wow. Okay.
They're frustrated with what's going on. I mean, getting calls from the conservatives out there who are obviously frustrated over what's going on. Being getting called, and everybody in between, church groups, fishing groups, and so many people who have said, we are so sick and tired of this entire mess. This has got to stop. You're the guy. What can we do to help?
Yeah, I forgot who I was talking to, but no, this total side note. It was a supervisor, and they got something from the DSA.
Yeah.
And... or maybe it was Dan Dow. I can't remember, but there's another group, like it's the district attorneys or whatever. And yeah. He's like, wow, this is a really weird, like, you know, because they were commenting on stuff, and he like sent it back, and then he's like, then I went back and realized it was Democratic Social.
Well, what was interesting, and I'll tell you the funny bit. I won't tell you who it was, because it's just, it wouldn't be right, but we were meeting for lunch. And great conversation, talking about the issues, what's going on out here, what's going on with everything from offshore wind to what's going on with farming, water issues, and everything else. And then, like, 3/4 of the way through the entire meeting, he said, by the way, full disclosure, I'm a member of the DSA. And I heard DSA, I was like, yes, I'm going to see the Dentistry Society of America. You know, my mind, I'm racing real quick saying, God, I want to act like, oh yeah, I know what that is. And he said, yes, the Democratic Socialists of America. And I sat there and he smiled and he said, you had no idea. I said, no. I said, what's DSA? I don't know what DSA right. is. And,
so, yeah, I think this is we went a little long on this subject. We were going to get to some other things, but we're not.
What do you want to talk about?
Let's bust into everything that happened in the county.
Over the last year.
Right.
Have me on next week. We'll talk about that.
But I think what's interesting is we've kind of shed a light, and there's so much that goes with this in our county, and I think in the Board of Supervisors especially, that this is commonplace. It's more commonplace than you think it is, and when you pay attention, and it takes, you hear this stuff during campaigns, and then it goes away.
Oh, yeah. And this has been terrible because, I mean, anybody who's worked in this knows that you have this kind of type of stuff going on. Then all of a sudden you're a candidate running for this, and then you see it firsthand. You see it at a whole different level that you never thought really exists, and you thought, wow, these are people that, I've really tried to defend, even if I agree with them, disagree with them. I've tried to defend these people. I've tried to say they're working hard at this, and I have walked away from a lot of people that I have met with, and I thought, wow, this is really bad. No wonder we can't figure out. We live in one of the most amazing places in the world, yet we can't figure out what to do with housing prices. We can't figure out what to do with homeless. We can't get anything going with, we're struggling with our economy here. How can that be, considering we live in one of the most amazing places on this planet?
Yeah. And you know what's interesting? I think in the last...
And now I know why. This is why. Yeah. Because the people that are really in charge of all this, and the self-professed do-gooders and whatnot,
right,
they're actually more concerned about, hanging out with each other and being friends with each other than actually questioning each other.
Well, it's interesting. I think we've seen in the last 3 or 4 years, a lot of new players come in and not necessarily running. Some of them have run, but trying to get involved in the local politics scenes and trying to make big waves. And it's interesting because I've gone out to lunch and breakfast with some of these people from both sides.
Yeah.
Some people that are going after, trying to convert you to, this person's evil.
And, you're right, yeah.
And it's like, what you don't realize, and I think what a lot of, there's maybe a lot of listeners here that have heard stuff over the years, but when you put it all together, and you come in here and you don't know the history.
Oh, yeah.
Of a, I don't care who it is. It could be a Pashong. It could be.
Sure.
I mean, he's going to run again, I'm hearing.
I suppose, yeah.
And but that's a ways off. I've heard that. I don't know if it's true or not. And then you have a Gibson who's, five terms?
Yeah, this will be his fifth term. That's
right. There's a lot of history there. So when you try to argue against it, or you look at, sticking up for the Tribune or this or that, you have to look at the history of it. Because you can take these little battles, and I've seen this over and over again. Well, no, it really meant that. Well, I'm looking at the big picture.
My grandfather was born in 1913. He passed away in 2004. And the stories that he and his brothers knew of this area were just unfathomable. My mother can tell you all the same stories too. I mean, she's been around long enough to tell you, hey, I watched the stacks going. I watched the politics behind the stacks going in and down at Morro Bay. The stories that have gone in historically in this region are absolutely unbelievable. Yeah. These people come to town who've been here 5, 10, 15, 20 years, whatever. God bless them. I mean, I think they're wonderful. Absolutely. You're part of the community. Absolutely. But if you have not lived through this and have seen it from a family standpoint, from a development standpoint, how a lot of this works, you can't really appreciate it. But what I have seen taking place here so far amongst the quote community leaders, a lot of them are more concerned about hanging out with each other and being friends with each other than if somebody gets out of line, they just say, oh, well, that's Bob.
And I think you're seeing that more and more, even with the city that's coming to light.
And nobody questions. And they don't question. They never question each other.
Right.
And they always defend each other. And if one of them get out of line, it's always this, well, let's soft pedal it because these are our friends. And we go out for sliders on Thursday night on Hygera Street. And we're going to go to this party next week and we get together and we go out for drinks. So, I'm going to kind of soft pedal it, because those are our friends. And if anybody questions our little circle click, we're going to go after them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it's unfortunate. And I think that and I'm going to, again, go to the listening audience. These people don't believe you're going to remember.
No, they don't.
They don't. What's here on the news cycle today, you're going to forget about. And then, 3 months from now, when it comes up on the campaign trail, well, that's old news, and we dealt with that. Well, did we?
I'll say this. If Gibson and D'Antona knew what I knew about the number of phone calls I've received, that I've heard the phrase, hey, guess what? We supported Gibson in the past, and these guys, we're off. We're 100% behind you. What can we do?
They would be alarmed. Give us your information one more time.
MichaelAaronWoody.com, WoodyForSupervisor.com.
All right, everybody. Well, this will be the last time you hear from me, so you can say, oh, thank
Ever?
God.
Ever? Ever?
Oh. At least this year. I hope you enjoyed the show, and I look forward to speaking to you next year. Have a Merry Christmas.
This hour of Sound Off was brought to you by Mid-State Precious Metals across the parking lot from the movie theater in Atascadero. Honest, veteran-owned. Buy or sell precious metals with integrity. Monday through Friday, 10 to 3.
AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.